told us that we are not of this world, nor are we subject to its rules of behavior and acceptance. Now, I might not have always understood the significance or importance of this statement. However, I have always found it comforting and helpful. The thing is this, when I look out on this world, considering its ways and means, I find it reassuring, learning that I do not belong there, that I am not of its circumstances and conditions. Nevertheless, I must have identity. Surely I belong somewhere. Therefore, the question now becomes, if I am not of this world, then where do I belong, and what are the acceptable rules of behavior? Human beings spend a great deal of time transitioning through life, attempting to fit in, adapting and adjusting to the best of their ability. You see, consistency and reliability are important elements to the well-being of the human nature. The problem is that trying to fit into a world of transition means we are searching for stability in a realm of changing scenes and moving parts. Lacking a foundation, we are never satisfied or fulfilled. Now, when Jesus told us that we are not of this world, he also spoke of a kingdom not of this world. He identified it as a spiritual one, calling it his Father's house. In addition, he told us to seek it above all else, identifying it as that place where we belong. Now, this is a realm of life not governed by the world's rules of behavior and acceptance. Therefore, to enter in, we must cease the activity of mental work. We learn of this life through spiritual discernment. We begin by studying the works of spiritual leaders, those knowledgeable not only in the ways of the world, but also in the ways of the kingdom. Those of you who dialed in this morning, you have discovered the teaching of divine science. Our founders define divine science as a practical, reasonable, livable teaching based upon the principle of the omnipresence of God, the science of God-like living. Now, exactly what is the science of God-like living? Well, to be God-like is to know us as spiritual beings, our nature divine, and then to live according to that nature. Science is systematized and organized, capable of proof, measurement, and demonstration. Therefore, I define living the divine science way as proving my spirituality. I cannot prove it in the laboratory, nor can I place it under a microscope for examination, or detect it through a telescope. To prove who I am, I must live according to that nature, to practice God's presence, and then live the truth I know of me. Now, the interesting thing about science and technology is that they can tell us a great deal about ourselves. You see, studies and experiments develop patterns. Patterns of expectation and probability. For instance, it tells us that by a certain age, a child should be at a particular weight and height. We measure developmental progress, a child's ability to crawl, to walk, and to talk. In addition, if the child does not meet the standards of measurement, we consider them not quite normal, leaving the parents to wonder what they had done wrong. It would appear that someone designed standards and measurements to move all of us along in a particular pattern, not allowing for flexibility or individual exceptions. This method of activity places the individual in a state of becoming. Becoming what? They are not sure. Now, with all of the wonderful scientific and technological discoveries we read about, there are some things that they cannot tell us. Some things simply are not capable of measurement, capacity, or depth known to human standards. For instance, do you realize that we cannot weigh a hurt feeling? We may say that it weighs heavily upon us, and yet exactly what is its weight? Do you realize that we cannot measure a laugh? We may describe it as hearty, lighthearted, or perhaps insincere. However, exactly what is its measurement? Have you ever tried to put a discouragement or disappointment into a test tube? Or put your fears under a microscope? Do you know of anyone who can manufacture happiness, wrap it up in a box, and then sell it? Can love be contained in a can, or frozen in a package, or stored in a refrigerator? Of course not. The intangible aspects of being are not capable of measurement and precise definition. How can you put a price on that which is priceless? Science cannot teach us right from wrong. No instrument of science, no microscope or testing machine can do what the voice of conscience can do. Science cannot give us ideals for which to live by, and man cannot truly live without ideals, no matter how hard he might try. Man must have something for which to live, and to which he can look for inspiration. Science cannot make us love one another more. And that is what the world needs most of all today. Science cannot make us loving, forgiving, and kind. It cannot keep us from saying unkind things. It cannot inspire us to help those in need. Jesus had everything, and yet, by human standards and measurements, he had nothing. No money, no home, no earthly power. Let us remember that Jesus knew he was not of this world, and therefore he did not claim or accumulate what it considered its treasure. Jesus kept his treasure in heaven. He was rich in spiritual qualities, none of which came through science. The human being exists in a state of becoming, growing, and unfolding. This is a legitimate state for the individual because it is a method of becoming aware, suitable for the process side of life. Becoming, growing, and unfolding are not creative activities. They simply reveal what is already in place. As we study and learn, we advance into greater understanding, becoming knowledgeable and well-informed. However, we did not really create anything. We simply became aware. We may say that a scientist or an inventor discovered something. Their discovery does not mean they made it, but rather, through practice and experimentation, they uncovered what was there all along. We call our teaching divine science. An aspect of a spiritual teaching is scientific prayer. Scientific prayer acknowledges what already is, not what is becoming, unfolding, or growing into, but that which is already there. To learn of what already is, we live as the spiritual self, the divine being. We cannot weigh, measure, or contain the nature of the one who is not of this world. The high consciousness, Christ consciousness, is the reality of the spiritual self, that being that abides in the Father's house. Living there, we finally understand the statement, all that the Father has is yours. Only then can we fully know that the Father and I are one. It is the Father that gives us the intangible verities of life, riches beyond the capacity and capability of science. I consider these as gifts from God. We do understand that there is no point at which we do not have within our being all of the riches of the Father. God does not give us his riches for good behavior, or as anything that we have earned, nor are they prizes that we can win. They belong to us as our birthright, as our spiritual inheritance. Even though we have always had the riches of the Father, the individual in the state of becoming will not recognize what belongs to the self of spiritual being. Remember, it takes spiritual discernment to discern spiritually. As we possess these things in the inner and have the consciousness of what that inner possession means, they shall manifest into outer experience for us. Now we may ask, exactly what are the heavenly riches that we possess? Well, they are the riches of spirit, those of joy, of gladness of heart, true gladness that is not dependent on person or place. They are the riches of love, kindness, happiness, peace, and harmony. What could be higher or have more value? A consciousness of beauty and light, the splendor of nature, of color and form. Feeling the nature of God in us, we delight in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Even in the filtered light through forest trees, and the joy of love given out and received again. As we acknowledge the riches of inner being, our life will be an expression of the fullness of the Father's storehouse of blessings for us made manifest. With a sense of gratitude and an open heart, let us keep our eyes ever on the goal. Keep pressing on to higher points of understanding and attainment. As we walk the spiritual path, we will have a closer fellowship with the one who makes the journey with us. We are never alone. The spiritual being, the one that is not of this world, has existence in the soul of man. It is already established and put in place. Our hidden spiritual capacity is always seeking an outlet to express its true nature. Riches of the inner nature, the gifts from God, They translate into our talents and our inclinations. Our role is to allow them to come forth, fulfilling our purpose as their avenue for expression. But in order to do this, we must know that they are there. Again, let us remember, we discern spiritual reality through spiritual discernment. The capacity of the human nature simply does not know of spiritual things. It is now time to talk about spiritual discernment and how it works. Spiritual discernment is a capacity given to all of us. However, it lies buried deep within us through centuries of human experience. We are now bringing it to the surface and discovering a capacity we never knew that we had. Joel Goldsmith tells the story of a man who was so unhappy in his childhood that at 9 years of age, he ran away from home. He worked his way to a foreign country and engaged in farming activity until well into his teenage years. Then he discovered that he had a great musical talent and later became a famous conductor, arranger, and composer, living out the balance of his days as an outstanding musical light. Now think what that boy had hidden inside of him, awaiting recognition. He was probably surrounded by a family who could never understand it, never agree with it, and could never give it the opportunity to come out. Not knowing why or what was going on within him, the young boy felt he had to run away from home, giving this talent an opportunity to come into expression, which it ultimately did. Buried within each one of us is knowledge of our purpose and reason for being, a knowledge of our talents and inclinations. The challenge is to define and find the receptive environment capable for its expression. Just like that young boy in Joel Goldsmith's story, a spiritual capacity is deep within each person, and it seeks an outlet almost from the very day that person comes into expression on this earth plane. Because it has not been given the opportunity of expression, it sets up a battle within a person, leaving him or her unhappy and dissatisfied. Sensitive to the inner nature, this feeling is so strong that the individual must leave everything that currently makes up his or her life experience. When this happens to us, we may have to leave home, to leave the environment of family and familiar surroundings. Our dissatisfactions and unhappiness may cause us to leave our occupation or dissolve a marriage. This is the process of transitioning from that individual who exists in a state of becoming, evolving, or unfolding, to that individual who has his being in Christ, that being that obeys the call of the soul to allow our spiritual capacity to rule in our life, an outlet for the blessing from God's infinite storehouse to rule. Through spiritual discernment, we realize that the personal struggles of the time of transition are not actually us seeking anything, but rather our hidden spiritual capacity seeking an outlet for expression. And its method of accomplishment requires us to stir us with dissatisfaction until we move into the environment receptive for its expression. Once again, I want to emphasize that being is not becoming. For many years, we have accepted the human method of growth as a process, which leads to greater attainment and realization. At first, we may apply the same logic to discovering the spiritual capacity in us, feeling that we must somehow grow it or develop it. However, we cannot grow or develop something already whole, complete, and in place. Remember, scientific prayer is recognition of what is already there. So to keep us on the right track, we must utilize the word is as in isness. When we are tempted to improve the human scene, we can come back to that word is. Is is the only truth. As we hold to this isness, we lose the temptation to try to change the human picture. Now, certain philosophies teach that being is becoming. However, being cannot be becoming because being already is. Now, true, it may be coming to our awareness, just as that young child each day learns something about the world. And to the child's sense, it is as if it were becoming so. But the child is merely becoming aware of what is. So spiritually, we may be learning new truth each day or think that we are. But actually, we are simply now aware of what already is. To me, this is the purpose of affirmations. Affirming not as what is becoming, improving, or growing, but rather affirming truth, the isness of all life. Now, talking this way will be nonsense to the one who is not spiritually minded, which is why we must use spiritual discernment to filter out what does not belong to is. Our prayer of recognition is always, not my will, but thine be done. The spiritual capacity in us, it knows what to do. Be still and allow it to rule in us. This morning we have the opportunity to affirm what God has put in place. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. Right where we stand, it's holy ground. In the stillness, we quiet our views, our opinions, and our emotions. We prepare ourselves for a private meditation, for our personal time with God. In the absence of thought, we listen beyond words and thoughts, and yes, we hear marvelous things. We learn of the truth of life and of us. I have prepared a place for you. I have written your name in heaven. You already are my beloved child. You are of a spiritual being, your nature divine. I gave you your name. Come, eat at my table of spiritual refreshment, renewed and restored to your true place. The abundant life is yours, not as an activity of becoming, growing, or unfolding, but rather by the remembrance of who you are and from whence you came. Come unto me now. Do not wait. The kingdom is at hand, and it is yours. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise Him for word and former is. Praise Him, all ye His truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto His name.
Go in peace and have a blessed week.